Okay, I think we can start. It's just a few people maybe gonna come in during the class.
Okay. Chaira. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Balaba Giri Vardhani Jaya Gopi Janavala Giri Vardhani Yasoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Una Siya Banachari Una Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Sunja Bihari Gopi Janabalabha Hidivaradhari Gopi Janabalabha Giri Varadhani Yasoda Nandana Vajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Jaya Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava, Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe Sham, Jaya Radhe Sham, Jaya Radhe Sham, Ribo. Hare Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Maya Purnavadvip Dham Ki Jaganapuri Dham Ki Tulasi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Ganga Mai Jamuna Mai Ki Samveda Bhakti Vinda Ki All glories to the devotees, all glories to the devotees, all glories to the devotees, All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Excuse me one second, taking my sweatshirt off.
While you're switching, I wanted to thank everybody for coming and to tell that Pushkar Prabhu from Alachua is giving class today.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Narottamam.
Narayanam Narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Tato Jayamudiraye.
Tato Jayamudiraye.
So we're reading in Canto 1, Chapter 8, Kunti's Prayers, Verse 22, I'm pretty sure. Nama Pankaja Nabhaya.
Nama Pankaya Nabhaya.
Nama Pankaja Malini.
Nama Panka Malini.
Nama Pankaja Malini.
Nama Panka Malini.
Nama Pankaja Naitraya.
Nama Pankaja Naitraya.
Namaste Pankajang Raye.
Namaste Pankajang Raye.
Nama Pankajana Bhaya.
Nama Pankajana Bhaya.
Nama Pankajamaline.
Nama Pankajamaline.
Nama Pankajanaitraya.
Nama Pankajaya.
Namaste Pankajang Rahe.
Namaste Pankajaya.
Nama Pankajam Nabhaya.
Nama Pankajam Nabhaya.
Nama Pankajamaline.
Nama Pankajamaline.
Nama Pankajanetraya.
Nama Pankajanetraya.
Namaste Pankajang Raye.
Namaste Pankajang Raye.
Somebody.
Nama Pankajanabhaya.
Nama
Pankajanabhaya.
Nama Pankajamaline.
Nama Pankajamaline.
Nama Pankajanetraya.
Nama Pankajanetraya.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
You know, before the next chant, I just wanted to make a little announcement. Narhari here in Seattle, and I've come to do my nephew's wedding. Anyway, I was just sitting down with my family members for breakfast. With lots of Gramya Gita, it was so boring. And I knew that Bhagavatam class was going to start. Pushkar Prabhu was going to be giving it. And we're reading this wonderful verse from some teachings of Queen Kunti. So right at like 3 or 4 minutes before class, I announced I had to go take a very important call. And I left breakfast and I said, tell him you can, oh, here's a door knock. I said, you can send the oatmeal up to my room, but I have to make a very important call. And I can't say how pleased I am to be in everyone's association hearing the nectar of the Bhagavatam. So,
Jai Haribol. Bhagavatam is most important.
Yeah, Haribol. All right, anyone else chanting?
What number is it?
Namaha Pankaya Navaya.
Nama Pankaja Nabhaya.
Nama Pankanamanye.
Nama Pankaja Malini.
Nama Pankanetraya.
Nama Pankaja Netraya.
Namaste Pankaja Garaye.
Namaste Pankaja Garaye.
Nama Pankaja Netraya.
Nama
Pankajanabhaya.
Nama Pankajamaline.
Namaste Pankajangraye.
Okay, anyone else? I'll chant the synonyms. Nama, all respectful obeisances.
All respectful obeisances.
Pankajanabhaya, unto the Lord, who has a specific depression resembling a lotus flower in the center of his abdomen.
Namah, unto the Lord, who has a specific depression resembling a lotus flower in the center of his abdomen.
Namah, obeisances.
Pankajamaline.
One who is always decorated with a garland of lotus flowers.
One who is always decorated with a garland of lotus flowers.
Namah. Obeisance.
Pankajanetraya.
One whose glance is as cooling as a lotus flower.
Namaste.
Respectful obeisances unto you.
Pankajangraye.
Unto you, the soles of whose feet are engraved with lotus flowers. Unto you, the soles of whose feet are engraved with lotus flowers. And who are therefore said to possess lotus feet. Translation. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as a lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Purport. Here are some of the specific symbolical marks on the spiritual body of the personality of Godhead, which distinguish his body from the bodies of all others. They are all special features of the body of the Lord. The Lord may appear as one of us, but he is always distinct by his specific bodily features. Srimati Kunti claims herself unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. This is claimed because women, Shudras, laborers, and Dwijabandhus, or wretched descendants of the higher three classes, are unfit by intelligence to understand the transcendental subject matter concerning spiritual name, fame, attributes, forms, etc., of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Such persons, although they are unfit to enter the spiritual affairs of the Lord, can see him as Archa Vigraha, who descends on the material world just to distribute favors to the fallen souls, including the above-mentioned women, Sudra, and Dwijabandhu. Because such fallen souls cannot see anything beyond matter, the Lord condescends to enter into each and every one of the innumerable universes as the Garbhadakshayi Vishnu, who grows a lotus stem from the lotus-like depression in the center of his transcendental abdomen. Thus, Brahma, the first living being in the universe, is born. Therefore, the Lord is known as Pankajanabhi. The Pankajanabhi Lord accepts the Archavigraha, his transcendental form, in different elements, namely a form within the mind, a form made of wood, a form made of earth, a form made of metal, a form made of jewel, a form made of paint, a form drawn on sand, etc. All such forms of the Lord are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and there should be a soothing atmosphere in the temple of worship to attract burning attention of the non-devotees who always non-devotees always engaged in material wranglings. The meditators worship a form within the mind. Therefore, the Lord is merciful even to the women, Sudras and Dvijabandhus, provided they agree to visit the temple of worship in different modes, rather in different forms made for them. such temple visitors are not idolaters as alleged by some men with a poor fund of knowledge. All the great acharyas establish such temples of worship in all places just to favor the less intelligent. And one should not pose himself as transcending the stage of temple worship while one is actually in the category of Shudra or women or less. One should begin to see the Lord from his lotus feet gradually rising to the thighs, waist, chest, and face. One should not try to look at the face of the Lord without being accustomed to seeing the lotus feet of the Lord. Shrimati Kunti, because of her being the aunt of the Lord, did not begin to see the Lord from the lotus feet because the Lord might feel ashamed. Thus, Kunti Devi, just to save a painful situation for the Lord, began to see the Lord just above his lotus feet, from the waist of the Lord, gradually rising to the face, then down to the feet. In the round, everything there is in order. Omagana, Timurandasha Ganjana, Shalaka Chakshu Militam, plus my Shigarabi Maha.
So, Prabhupada, if everybody could mute.
Thank you.
Shri Chaitanya Manobhi Stong, Stabitam Jena Bhutale, Fayam Rupagara Maha, Tadapi Sapadam Figam, Vandeham Shigaro Shi Utapadagamalam. Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Itam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Subadhutam Parijana Sakta Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Panam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Itam Shahe Krishna Kuruna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Apta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavane Shri Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Janalambita Bujo Kanakavidato, some Kirtanai Kapitaro, Kamalaya Takro, Vishwam Baro, Vija Baro, Jugadan, Mapalo, one day Jigat Vyakaro, Kurunavasti. Oh, Tri Kalasataya, Jagannatha, Sutaya, Cha, Jabrita, Saputra, Sakalatra, Namaha. Nama, Pankaja Nabaya, Nama, Pankaja Maline, Nama, Pankaja. Netraya Namaste Pankajangraye. So, this verse is very easy to memorize. There's doubles, as we say, doubles out of a total of about, say, 12, 15 words, is doubles on two of them. Or quadruples, I should say, and two of them. Nama, 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 four times. Pankaja, 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 four times. Of course, it means lotus. And all respectful obeisances. Sometimes the person names his child Padmalochan. Lotus-eyed, although they may be ugly faced as a euphemism. But in this case of Krishna, it is not a euphemism. Even even devotees, or sometimes a beautiful woman, even a man sometimes has lotus-like eyes. First thing mentioned here, of course, is the flower in the center of the abdomen. Namo Pankajanabhaya, a specific depression resembling a lotus flower in the center of his abdomen. So that means his navel is, as described also in the prayers of Lord Shiva, that there's a very deep whirl of a navel, so deep that the entire universe, which is manifest by Lord Brahma, who sits on the lotus, that the entire universe appears to want to go back and then into that lotus and to dive into that lotus of his navel. Not in the form of obliterating one's personal existence, but just to savor the ecstatic relationship with Krishna and his lotus navel. So the yogi also is enjoined, and Lord Kapila mentions that even the yogi should meditate on Vishnu, sanchintayat bhagavatas, charanaravinda, on the lotus feet, sanchintayat, he must, is an imperative, sense that he must meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. As a matter of fact, it describes there in that, I think it's chapter 28, the instructions in devotional service by Lord Kapila, Sanchinter Bhagavatas Charanaravinda. Prabhupada's name also is Abhaya Charanaravinda. It means that he's fearless at the lotus feet of Krishna, Abhaya Charanara. And Prabhupada was asked, "What is it? How does it feel like to be, you know, God conscious?" And he said, "No fear." One time he said, "No fear." I'm sure there's many other answers he could have given, but his name would give us to understand how he might say that also. And not an accident that he has that name, Abhaya Charanaravinda. Abhay. He was known as Abhay, fearless. That was his name. And Abhaya Charanaravinda. By Charan Day, that was his original name. The Charan is also the feet. And but then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta named him Abhaya Charanaravinda. So, Bhajahure Mana Srinandana Abhaya Charanaravinda. Prabhupada would also sing a song. Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhajahure Mana Srinandana. That the son of Nanda Maharaj, Nandanandana. Nandanandana means the bliss. Nandanandana means, of course, his name is blissful. Nandana is the father of Krishna, but his son, Devaki Nandana, whatever Nandana he may be, means the bliss. The son gives, should give bliss. He should not give trouble. Just as Chanakya Pandit says, a son who is not a learned man or not a devotee, he's simply like blind, troubling eyes. He should practically be better off being plucked out. So Krishna, he's not only the son of Yasoda and Nanda, but of course we all aspire to be the somehow relation with Krishna. Some people, some souls desire to be the also like Mother Yasoda, like Nanda Maharaj, or like the gopis. The gopis are also addressing Krishna in various ways. And one of them, I just saw the song. Oh, it was in that chapter 31 in the 10th canto, it's one of the maximum ecstatic Kridananda praises this chapter, saying that the unimaginable, but of course, if one has some a little bit understanding of Sanskrit, or depending, even some people may be great Sanskrit scholars, even if they were mundaners, they couldn't help but swoon in ecstasy chanting this song of the gopis in separation. So one of the specific verses describes Krishna's face and the result, and it says, "Vrajajanarti han vira yoshitam nija janasmaya dvangshanasmita bhajasake bhavet kinkaraismano jalashuhananam charudashaya." Rajajanarti han vira yoshitam nijajanasmaya dvangshanasmita bhajasake bhavat kinkaraismano jalrohasanam charudarshaya. It's amazing alliteration, all the various Sanskrit alankars, as they call them, jewels of Sanskrit. Vrajajanarti han. So there it says that han means a destroyer. What does he do? Vrajajana. The residents of Vraj, the gopis are saying, Vrajajanarti han. He destroys, O hero, Virajyoshitam. He destroys all the sufferings of those Vrajavasis. Of course, we all aspire to be Vrajavasis. Then it says, Nijajanasmaya dvangshanasmita. Or devotees, Nija Jana, his own, Nija means his own, Jana Smaya. Smaya means pride. So he destroys the pride. How does he do it? Dvangshana means he destroys Smita with his smile, with his smiling lotus face. Bhajasake, Bhavat Kinkarai, also the maidservants, the gopis, Smano. Bajasake Bhavet Kinkarai Smano. Finally, he says, Jalashru Hananam. They say, Jalashru means also another name for lotus. There's many words for lotus, and Jalashru means born in the water. Pankaja means specifically born from the mud, but also born from the water in the mud that's on top of the mud. And Hananam means his lotus face. Jalashru Hananam, Charu Darshaya. By seeing the Darshaya, getting the darshan of that beautiful face, the pride of the devotees is shattered. So there's one good motivation for anyone, whether he be a Mayavadi full of pride or anyone aspiring in any spiritual path, to destroy pride. This is the first thing. Anyone who doesn't destroy his pride, doesn't become humble, and he's wasting his time. Not wasting his time completely, but if he maintains his pride, and a devotee wants his pride cut down, and it's being cut down in a very nice way. So this interesting verse, which is very simple, Prabhupada stressed we should, in this speaking on this verse, I saw one lecture that he was stressing we should learn how to say and pronounce these words very perfectly and memorize them. He was saying it over and over again, memorize these verses. He wants that the Gurukula would be there, that the kids would learn Sanskrit, or at least some Sanskrit, learn the English, read Prabhupada's books, memorize these verses. So in this purport also, Prabhupada immediately brings the relationship of the last verse or several verses where she's claiming a couple of verses ago how she's a woman and this, they're unfit. But here Prabhupada's saying that when Krishna wears, it says he always wears those flowers. Sometimes it says he wears other types of flowers, of course, forest flowers, depending. But he, since he appears in unlimited myriad ways, he can always wear, of course, lotus flowers too. And Prabhupada immediately talks about the cooling effect and how the temple should be very cooling, and that persons have to be willing to make their way to the temple, as it says here. That he's merciful even to women suitors and to Vijabandhas, provided they agree to visit the temple of worship in different forms. And further in the purport, he says one should not artificially think that he's advanced and doesn't have to go to the temple. Also, we see in the second canto, Sukadeva Goswami, some of his verses where he describes those legs which don't take one to the temple are no better than tree trunks, isn't it? Of course, we're not nowhere near a temple. That's another thing. But if we're near a temple, or we maybe perhaps out of desperation, we establish a temple in our house or something like that. Some of us are fortunate. We live near temples. We go to see the wonderfully decorated temples we have here in Alachua. Especially the pujaris do an incredible job every day. Sometimes it's unbelievable. Sometimes it's just amazing. Sometimes it's fantastic. But this is the job of the pujaris. They dress not only in lotus flowers, sometimes it's lotus flowers. Many types of flowers are recommended. And this creates an atmosphere along with the puja, the kirtan. One is drawn, even any mundane person, he's drawn to see it. Just imagine how people are drawn to shop windows and they walk aimlessly, hopelessly, uselessly. They go to malls and just constantly window shopping, looking for things, looking. Where is that Ananda? So finally, if you go to the temple, you see, oh, this is what I've been looking for. This beautifully decorated Krishna. So, therefore, the devotees are praying to the lotus feet. It says here that Kunti didn't want to cause any a painful situation. Therefore, she didn't just look at Krishna's feet. After all, she's not his. She's very intimate with Krishna, although she's considering herself as a low-class woman. And Prabhupada mentions the Dvijabandhu. Of course, we just heard about the Dvijabandhu, Aswatthama, and Sudras, and the others that are always being mentioned, women Sudras, Dvijabandhus, and even the Vaishyas, Vaishya Sudras. anyone could be attracted. The Arch of Vigraha, and Prabhupada describes that also in detail. There's eight forms in 11th canon, I believe, is mentioned by Krishna. Shaili, Daru, wooden, Shaili, the sand, made of sand, and paint. They're all mentioned here. So Prabhupada actually told the artist at one point, we asked him, what actually painting, is it actually sudra work? Because we, even a long time ago, we heard that painting was sudra work. And Prabhupada said, no, it's not sudra work. If you're painting Krishna, it's not sudra work. This is actually on the level of puja, pujanam, worshipping the deity. If you're simply, of course, painting a wall or painting, Maya painting, and it becomes sudra work. So we get to do that quite often where I live. We paint pictures of Krishna all day or a good part of the day. Very nice meditation. In fact, I was in Prabhupada's room in 77 with him. I was painting a painting of Prabhupada. I showed it to him, a big painting, and he said, yes, if you continue painting in the disciplic succession, you will go back to Godhead. So it must have some meaning. So, and even painting the lotus feet of the Guru, Bande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. So, in the 10th canto, also, Bhavat Putena, the Krishna's feet, lotus feet, are compared to boats. We get in those boats, and those boats are the lotus feet of Krishna. They take us on the other side of this ocean of nescience. The Acharyas have left those boats. They're transcendental boats. So even if you traverse the ocean of nescience, they're still somehow appear on the back on the other shore in the material world by which anyone can board them. And then that ocean becomes very small. Govatsa becomes like the footprints, the puddles of the footprints of a calf. And we'll notice also, as we read Bhagavatam, these analogies appear again in Kapila, in that same verse, where he says, Sanchintayat Bhagavatas Charanaravinda Vajrankusha Vajasaroruha Lanchanadyam. He describes the lotus feet. They have a lotus on them, but besides the lotus, and also the feet, the toes, they're very lotus-like. When someone is learning the transcendental method of drawing or painting, he's taught to draw lotuses. When he draws the eyes, draw a lotus flower, and to draw the feet, the fingers, tips, they resemble lotus tips, and they're pinkish. But also Vajra Ankusha, there is a on the feet. There's a Vajra, which is a lightning bolt, and sometimes Krishna's feet are compared, his toes are compared to lightning bolts, because if one meditates on them, it will smash, destroy the mountain of dirt and sin in the meditating yogi or devotee. Of course, we shouldn't think that every devotee is sinful, but actually it says that in the verses. Jyotsnabhyat ahata mahad hridayandakaram. It will destroy the darkness in the heart. Hrida anda, anda yatanda rupa niyamana. Generally, people are being led blindly by other blind leaders, but the devotees take shelter of the lotus feet of the guru. Actually, we also asked Prabhupada one time about painting or showing pictures of the guru. Should we show the whole body? Should we show? And then Prabhupada pointed to his feet. This was in Brooklyn, in Henry Street. He pointed to his feet and he said, Bande Guru Sri Charanaravinda. He pointed to his feet and said, you worship the lotus feet of the Guru. So especially on altars or Vyasasans. I mean, we had pictures of faces of Prabhupada. I did that face of Prabhupada. It was on the back of the Gita. So that was okay. But for formal portraits, Bande Guru Sri Charanaravinda, the lotus feet of the Guru are worshipped. Vajrankushad Vaja Suroruha. Suroruha also means the lotus. And Dvaja means a banner. These are some of the things that are on besides the lotus and the flag and the goad. Tangarakta Vilasan. They're very brilliant reddish. Nakra Chakravala, the nails of his lotus feet, they resemble the circle of the moon. Jyotsna Bir Ahata. They dispel. And also it is said by meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna that Shokashu Sagara, this whole world, material world, is Shoka Ashru. Due to tears being shed, Shokashu Sagara, it creates a whole ocean of misery. And one can surpass this ocean and dry it up by meditating on the feet of Krishna. So in that whole section of Kapila's teachings, he teaches us to meditate on the feet, gradually rise. And as we've heard also, these first and second canto are the lotus feet of Krishna. It's important to really absorb these two cantos. Because if we don't get that part down, it's difficult to go onward. We should really imbibe these two cantos, first and second canto. Nama Pankajanabhaya. He's the Pankajanabhaya. This is again stressed. Yasyang Shangsha Shilagarbodashayi Yannabhyabjam Lokasangata Nala. In the beginning of the Chaitanya Charamrita, Charitamrita, where our Krishna's Kaviraj is introductory Mangala Charana, it is called, the introductory verses. After quoting and using Rupa Goswami's verses and using Sarup Damodar's verses, then he himself composes verses where he praises Lord Nityananda with these verses, how it is from Tam Chi Nityananda Raman Prabhaja, take shelter of Lord Nityananda, who is none other than Balaram, and from Balaram is described that the various expansions coming down as the Mahavishnu and the Garbhodakshai Vishnu, Kshiradakshai Vishnu, and springing from the lotus navel of Krishna, and Brahma sits on the lotus. Many places in all kinds of poetry in the fourth canon, very famous verse, yet Pada Pankaja Palasa Vilasa Bhaktya, where I think this is the Sana, the Kumar. Four Kumaras are instructing Prithu, and they're saying how the Mayavadis, they cannot take shelter of the Pada Pankaja Palasa, the feet, which in the toe like, the lotus like toes and feet of Krishna. Therefore, narikta matayo yatayopi rudha. They waste their time trying to meditate. Meditation is speculation generally. If one doesn't meditate on this specific lotus feet, lotus face, we have so much to meditate on. But the impersonalists, they're simply, by their meditation, it increases some speculation. Speculation induces more speculation. Here we have the very specific things to meditate on. Nama pankajane, try the lotus eyes of Krishna. His eyes, just even Vishnu's eyes, are so wonderfully lotus, and the bees take shelter there. Krishna twadiya pada pankaja panjant adyeva meva shatu manasa raja hangsa. Prabhupada would love to sing this one prayer of Kulishekar, King Kulishekar, and he quoted that just even before leaving his body. Many times he would quote that, but he wanted to be in the King Kulishekar is praying to be in good health, because the time of leaving the body, one is in a very bad state. It's very difficult. And he's praying, therefore, that may I leave now that I can really think of your lotus feet, just like the Hamsa, the Paramahansa. So we aspire to become Paramahansa. Bhagavatam is the Paramahansa Samhita. And we aspire, and King Kulishekar also is aspiring, and Prabhupada, many devotees chant that. It's not like one has to be in a particular Gaudiya, but many devotees in South India, North India, they all chant these Mukunda Mala Stotra. And that is one of the top most famous verses, that Krishna Twadiya Pada Pankaja Panjalandhan, that now, Adyaiva, he's saying, right now, please. He's actually asking to leave his body now that he's in a good state of mind. He's not sure that the time of when his body is discombobulated, his mind is going everywhere, leaving the body, dying, that all the senses are shutting down, that he'll be able to remember. So therefore he's saying, may I now, that I'm thinking of you clearly, and think of your lotus feet, I could leave my body at this time. So we also follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and chant that prayer, Krishna Tritiya Pada Pankaja Banjan Ajaiva Vishatame Manasa Raja Hangsha. He's describing that the swan likes to go down under the water and play around with the stem of the lotus. Pada Padmam Ivambasa, also even the leaf of the lotus, Kamala Dalajala, at any time the drop that is can fall off the lotus leaf is very slippery, and at any time it can fall. This material world is like that. But in the Gita, in the fifth chapter, Krishna describes Pada Padma Ivambasa, that the devotee becomes like the lotus leaf above the water. Even if one is lifted even 1 inch above the water, if he's swimming, Ainanda Tanuja Patitam Kinkara Mamushame Bhavam Budau Kripaya Tava Pada Pankajastita Delishasham Vichintaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I want to become like a dust particle at your lotus feet. Ainanda Tanuja. Because there's plenty of room, Prabhupada says, at the lotus feet of Krishna. It's not that it's unlimited. It's unlimited. Just as the expansions of Krishna unlimited in the temples, and the lotus flowers are unlimited, and the deities are unlimited. Similarly, there's unlimited space at the lotus feet of Krishna. Bhaja Hare Mana, Shinandanandana. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was similarly praying that Pada Pankaja may, he's again using this same analogy of the lotus. If you're swimming in an ocean of nescience, as we all are, we want to be lifted up. So he's praying, please lift me out. Ainanda Tanaja Patitam. I'm Patitam, fallen. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not fallen, but he's giving himself as example. Patitam Mam Vishame Bhavam Buddhau. This Bhavam Buddhau Vishame is very dangerous. It's a very dangerous material world, Narottam says. Vishama Bishaya, but which it's poisonous, and we're still trying to drink that poison. It's almost as though when Prabhupada said, trying to enjoy the Holocaust, a blazing. If one goes out when they're dropping a nuclear bomb, he thinks he'll have a good time. I mean, sometimes you see on the news people going out, it must be very desperate. These soldiers are firing on them in Libya and other countries, and they're going out. They're so angry. They want that freedom there. Everyone's aspiring for this freedom, to feel the full freedom. But the devotees are actually the only ones who can experience that type of freedom. Freedom from the anarthas, freedom from the attachment. That's actual liberation. Liberation from material sense enjoyment, sex desire. Another thing, when one meditates on the lotus feet of Krishna, as described by Kapila Dev, that he charms the sages. He charms the Cupid for the sake of the sages. He charms them, especially with his smiling face, his lotus face. So in all ways, here in this one verse, sometimes Prabhupada would praise these verses, that by one verse, there's one of the verses coming up that we're going to read, where Prabhupada had said that just this one verse, there's more philosophy and more religion than there is in all anywhere that you can read in let me see if I find that verse. He said it anyway. I think it's Bhavesmin Klishamananam Avijakamakarmabhi. Avijakamakarmabhi. That we're in this, you never hear about this if you read any kind of a Bible or any kind of a Quran, any kind of anything, Mayavad. Oh, the Mayavadis might say something, but they have no way of getting out of Bhavesmin. In this material creation, Klishamananam, we're suffering. Who are suffering? Avijja kama karma bi. We're suffering because of our kama and our karma bi. Fruit of work and lust. Kama. Ashesha kama. Unlimited kama. Hridaya. They're in the heart. The heart is actually a lotus. It's a pure lotus. But it's covered. Hrida Roga Kama. It's covered. Our own lotus hearts are covered. If one takes this lust, it's like a very valuable bedstead, but he's destroying that bedstead with this lusty desires. And so the material world is always agitating. So therefore, tam bhakti yuga paribhavta hit saroja asheshu tekshita patonana. The Lord Brahma is also praying like that to the lotus feet. Tam bhakti yuga paribhavta hit saroja. That he's describing this hit saroja, hrida roga. And within that heart is this lust. So by meditation on Krishna and his leelas, especially, it says, with the gopis, especially that meditation. Not that we all pick it out only, but that's described there. The kriditam raja vidu biridam cha Vishnu. That particular verse at the end of the chapter of the gopis, verses that hridaroga kama. Of course, if one jumps over. Devotees actually quoted that verse to Prabhupada when he was chastising them like anything during the Gopi Bhava arrangement in L.A. in 1976. They had especially only were aspiring to become gopis. Prabhupada didn't like that idea, or at least he didn't recommend it for neophytes. And he said, they quoted that verse, but Prabhupada, it says right here, if one thinks of this pastime of Krishna with the gopis, rasa dance, etc., all these leelas, then hridaroga kama, then we'll become free of lust. Therefore, it's recommended. Prabhupada said, and they said, we'll become purified. Prabhupada said, no, but you're becoming putrefied. So we always have to accept. Some of the devotees didn't accept that, and they had a hard time. I know one particular devotee, he wasn't even in this Gopi Bhava Club, so-called Gopi Bhava Club. Prabhupada was quoting various verses to counter this idea by saying there's one verse that says if one is on the level of these gopis, Nartam Das, it's also from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Bhav, if one is in this Bhav of Gopi Bhav, then he won't even be able to think of his material body. So we have to come to that point where Paramahansa point that one doesn't even know about the material body. We're not at that point. Therefore, we have to go gradually, lotus feet, up to the lotus face, and naturally we'll become attracted and we'll have a relationship with Krishna. It cannot be artificially pushed. And as it says here in the beginning, one has to at least go to the temple. One cannot falsely think that he doesn't have to bother with this. Such temple visitors are not idolaters, as alleged by some men, like the Mayavadis. They say, yes, Krishna is everywhere. You don't need to go to the temple. Oh, but he's not in the temple? You're trying to tell us? This is Mayavadi. And idolatry, one worships an idol, something that's not Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes an idol as something, you know, like they idolize the teen idol, rock idol, I think. They have these different programs where they're trying to elect a new Hollywood idol or a new singing idol. There's an idol. It's a temporary, ridiculous thing or something that they worship, very primitive persons. And then some Hindus actually describe their own deity as an idol rather than a deity, which is unfortunate. So this is an idol, something that's not Krishna. It's something false, an idol. Idol worshippers, but this is actually Krishna. They cannot come to any higher point. As Krishna says, Matak Parataram Nanyat Kinchit Api Dananjaya. Nothing higher. There's no higher. Param Dhamma, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitaram Paramam. Of course, we have to become Pavitaram, also pure. Krishna is the most pure. And we do that by again and again hearing and chanting, Shavan Kirtan Jale Korya Sate Chan. Shavan Kirtan Jale. We want to water this lotus within the heart so that this Bhakti Lata bees, the seed, fructifies and it grows gradually up through the material coverings and takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. That is the idea of studying these shastras, hearing and chanting. Shavan Kirtan Jale. This is the water for nourishing the lotus, the bij, which is, of course, the lotus is already there, but this bij, so that watering process is something that goes on constantly, is never neglected. If you go away from your house and come back after a month, unless maybe you're in a proper rainy place, your plants will be all dried up. So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is recommending there that Shravan Kirtan Jali Kori of the water Sechan, Abhishek, perform that watering process, and that one's lotus will bloom and grow, and it will bloom in Goloka Vrindavan. Of course, we already have the lotus, but it will grow out toward. This is the whole idea. So, anything, comments, welcome, please.
John Prabhuji, lovely class. A quick question. If I understood you right, in the beginning you were describing where the lotus stem comes out, there's a depression, and the universe describes desires to go back into that depression.
It appears to. It says this is one of the prayers of Lord Shiva.
Then my question would be then, I guess my understanding was that the universe is itself material. It's the external energy, non-cognizant. Why then, or how then, would it have the desire to go back?
Well, we'd have to read that and read the purport again, but I just remember it, and I think it's one of the ecstasies that Sukadeva Goswami, whoever's speaking this verse, and probably it's Sukadeva. It's Lord Shiva. What am I saying? He's quoting Lord Shiva saying that. I think if you look in the prayers of Shiva, Lord Shiva, what chapter is it? Chapter in Canto 4. Maybe it's 28 or something. Chanting the prayers of Lord Shiva. Is that 28? Because he's instructing, or is it past that? It's past 28. Oh, I forget. But if you look that up, you'll find that verse and see the purport and see what Prabhupada says.
Right.
But it's probably it's an ecstasy of Lord Shiva.
Mm. That could,
in other words, it's growing out. It's growing. It's still growing right now. We don't perceive it, but we're in that stem somehow, or mounted on a chandelier. We're not sure. However, it's inconceivable. But though there are souls there also, and the universe has souls. Many. It's made of unlimited souls, and combinedly, that's their actual desire to go back in. I understand that it's a good question, but it's something to be meditated on. Prabhupada said this is actual philosophical speculation that we can think, how is that? It's not like mundane speculation where, nati, you're just thinking, no, it's not that. It's not, what's going on here? Not that, but we're specifically meditating on how is that possible that the universe wants to. So it's an ecstatic meditation of Lord Shiva.
Okay, good answer.
And he's Vaishnavananyata Shambhu. He's the best of the Vaishnavas. So whatever he's saying, we can meditate on that. And if we don't understand it, we can again read it. Like Prabhupada said about the nectar of devotion. He said, you don't understand it, read it again. That's all, no problem.
Puskar Prabhu, you were mentioning about the lotus and how brilliant it is. Actually, in the third canto, in the process of creation, it's also mentioned that the stem is so brilliant because all the jivas are attached, combined together makes the stem. So, the process of creation is mentioned several places. So the stem itself is brilliant, and it's so brilliant that, it cannot be compared to anything that we know in the material world of the brilliance. But it's the jivas that are all combined together as the stem. You see? So that's...
Well, yeah, right. The jiva is also composed of Brahma Jyoti in Surrey, right? And they're all brilliant. The tiny pencil rays.
Right. So they combine together. So imagine if those are the jivas which compose the stem. So they combinedly, obviously, they just came out from the Lord's body and they want to go back in because they're actually conscious. The stem is conscious because
right. And maybe they're thinking, wow, why did we come? Why are we leaving? Why are we leaving
just
the Lord?
Just like the embryo in the womb, right? When he's praying and praying to, you know, let him see him and be engaged in his service. And then he's forced out and he forgets. But while he's in the womb, he's praying because he's given that consciousness of understanding his position. Just to add to that a little bit, when you said about there is water on the navel of Mahavishnu, just like it says here in Krishna, but in the process of creation, I was just reading through that, and it says there is water there on the navel, and Lord Brahma sees that. And then suddenly there is this massive wind coming, and through this air, the water gets dried up. And then the Lord, because Lord Brahma is going up and down and he's meditating on the Lord, and then he gets this understanding. And, you know, guess what Vishnu does? Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he lifts his toe. So then when he lifts his toe, Lord Brahma gets the vision of his toe. He gets to see his toe at that time. Imagine that. Isn't that wonderful? He gets to see his lotus-like toe.
Oh, you mean he's up above the toe looking down?
Yeah, Brahma is on top of the lotus, right?
And so he looks down, but actually, so his feet are in the water, then he takes his toe out of the water, or is that what you're saying?
No, no, no. His feet, I mean, Brahma is on the lotus and he's far above, right? And then when he gets the understanding that Lord Vishnu is there, because he first gets to see the whole Goloka and the spiritual world, and then he gets to understand where he's come from, and then he looks down and he sees Mahavishnu. At that time, Mahavishnu also lifts his foot, and and Brahma gets to see his toe. Because even
he gets closer, it gets closer to him.
Yeah. So he gets to see.
That's described. Where was that again?
In the process of creation, the third canto.
Okay, chapter.
Not quite sure. No.
Chapter.
Let's see.
30 something, or no, I can't remember. Anyway, if you don't remember the chapter. Anyway, we'll find that. It's the name of the chapter.
Hmm.
Okay, anything else?
Yeah.
Also, there's a description of Krishna relishing his own feet or his own toe. Maybe you could elaborate more on this. At the time of the dissolution, when Krishna lies down in a banyan leaf.
Markandeya Rishi sees that he puts his toe in his mouth, right?
Toe. Yeah, puts his toe in his own toe in his mouth.
Then Markandeya Rishi gets sucked again up into his nostril, and he's back in his ashram again after going through the entire devastation of the universe. And he gets sucked up into Krishna's nostril, and next thing you know, he's back in his ashram. Everything's real peaceful again. Pretty amazing.
I do have a question. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good. Okay. I need about 2 minutes of airtime so I can fully state it, so you understand where I'm coming from. In the second sentence of the purport, third sentence.
Hello?
The Srimati, can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
I hear you fine, Prabhu.
It says Srimati Kunti claims herself to be unfit to see the Lord because of her being a woman. This is claimed because women sudras and the Divijabandhus are unfit by intelligence to understand the transcendental subject matter. Now, we have discussed this on a few occasions in our Bhagavatam class. What I understand from this is that in previous ages, it must have been more pronounced, the difference between women sudras, you know, Divijabandhus, and those are
Kalau Shudra Sambho, and now everybody's a Sudra now. Kalau Shudra Sambhava, Kali Yuga, everyone's born Sudra. So.
You answered your own question.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a difference. And so it was more pronounced. I mean, even nowadays in India, I mean, Sudras of, you know, still discriminated. But Prabhupada even says that someone like Ramananda Roy, something like Sudra, or even Prabhupada, you know, he was a Kayasta, you know, and Ramananda Roy is a Kayasta. And Prabhupada says Lord Chaitanya is questioning him because some people are thinking Ramananda Roy is a Shudra or something, which is actually they themselves are.